This is a Media Lab podcast. Welcome to Putting It Together, the podcast that goes through the entire body of work of Stephen Sondheim, show by show and song by song. My name is Kyle Marshall, your self-described Sondheim expert. Well, you do have to suffer through just me here today. No guest this week. And I guess if that wasn't obvious, then today I should just let you know is a bit of a departure. We're going to talk about the cut songs from Pacific Overtures. By my count, there are only three, at least that's all that are included in the book Finishing the Hat, written by Sondheim. And there are a bunch of reasons why you would cut a song. Maybe it doesn't fit into the story, slows things down, there's a better song to replace it with. What's interesting about these three songs from Pacific Overtures is that two of them were reworked into different songs, and the other was basically a first draft of something that was a better fit ultimately. So, you know, I'm excited to get into that with you here in a bit. Before we start the show proper, I have a few news items that I want to go through. So first, as per my document that I have open in front of me here right now, the next main series will be about Sweeney Todd. And the first episode of that will start airing on December 22nd. So it's my Christmas gift to you. I'm so excited to delve into Sweeney, one of my all-time favorite musicals, Sondheim or not. In fact, I usually, at least once a year, block off some time so that I can listen to the full score from top to bottom. I just really, really love that show. We'll be also talking about it for quite a while, because unless something unforeseen happens, which in our world today isn't so out of the question, but per my plans, with two episodes placed in the middle for an intermission of sorts, we will then be airing the final Sweeney episode on, let me just double check this, yes, July 13th of 2022. So 2 days after my birthday, another gift from me to you. So we're going to be in it for a while, and I think there's so much to talk about. However, I'm sure what that does is spur a question in your mind. Why are we waiting until December to start talking about Sweeney? Well, part of the answer is that I could have decided to air 5 episodes in October and then paused for 6 weeks only to start it back up again, but I really didn't want to take that much of a break between like the beginning part of the season and then the rest of it. So I thought, why not just start Sweeney in December and just run it for the next 7 months? Now that probably has another question pop into your head, why would there be a 6 week break? Well, that brings us to the second thing. I'm inviting on a recurring guest, Christine Chen, to come and help me out with a little project. So the new West Side Story film, directed by Steven Spielberg, is finally coming out on December 10th of 2021, presumably at least. So what we're going to do together is return back to West Side Story for a 5-episode mini-season. We'll definitely talk about the lyrics again, but mostly analyze different performances of 5 specific songs throughout the years. West Side Story was the very first season that I did, and if you go and listen to them now, things were a lot different back then. I didn't really include any of the music in those first shows, which I'll now do. And hopefully the new movie soundtrack will be out by then, and we can discuss some of those performances as well. And then, of course, I'll have somebody on to talk about the new movie when it gets released. Now, that also leaves open a few weeks of time between the end of September and the beginning of November. And so that brings us to our third and last thing. To fill that time, I'm going to be inviting on previous guests to discuss a song from a previous show. I'm letting them pick whatever song they want from any show we have talked about in the past, just not a song that they've already talked about themselves. So think of it as a mini series redux, songs we've already talked about, but from a different perspective. We have a couple of episodes left before we get there, but that's, you know, essentially what to expect for the next 3 months of 2021, and then the first 7 months of 2022. Super excited to share it with all of you. Now, before we get to the songs, I'm going to insert the ad copy part here, and then we'll just jump into the 3 songs that were cut from Pacific Overtures. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this ad spot section. You know, I usually start these off by talking about how you can help this show for absolutely free. And why break a streak if I don't have to? So if you'd like to help support the show for absolutely free, you can give a rating and review on whatever app you listen to podcasts in. That's greatly appreciated. And if you'd like to help monetarily, which will only help to grow and make this show better, you can do so over at our Patreon page. Please do not donate if it impacts you negatively financially. I also need to give a huge thank you to the God That's Good tier from Patreon, the triumphant quartet of Jack, Todd, Carrie, and Witty. Putting It Together is also a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. The Alberta Podcast Network promotes and supports Alberta-made podcasts and connects their audiences with Alberta-based businesses and organizations. This episode of Putting It Together is brought to you by YEG Podfest, presented by Edmonton Community Foundation in partnership with the Alberta Podcast Network and LitFest, Canada's non-fiction festival. Running October 1st through 3rd, YEG Podfest will be held all online this year, so anyone can tune in to experience it. Events include masterclasses with professional podcasters, panel discussions, feature interviews, and more. Some of APN's member shows will be there too, so join us for the virtual party from October 1st through 3rd. To check out the full lineup and get tickets, head on over to yegpodfest.ca. That's yegpodfest.ca. This week, we're also brought to you by Pod Power. With Pod Power, our sponsors are making it possible for us to amplify the voices of Albertans and Alberta podcasters. This episode, Edmonton Community Foundation is helping us give a Pod Power shout-out to Bookwomen. Bookwomen is a podcast about editing, publishing, and writing Indigenous stories. Three Métis librarians representing nations from across the homeland aim to inspire Indigenous peoples to share their stories in whatever form that they enjoy. Guests include Indigenous storytellers from diverse mediums like podcasting, burlesque, books, comics, social media, films, music, and everything in between. You can listen and find out more at bookwomenpodcast.ca. I probably should have pointed out at the very beginning that this is going to be a shorter episode, or at least I envision this to be a pretty short episode. But these are the three songs that were cut from Pacific Overtures. The first is a song called We Float, the second is called Prayer, and then the last one was the quote-unquote original version of Chrysanthemum Tea. This is what Sondheim writes about We Float. I wanted to begin the score with a topic sentence rather than a personalized statement, partly to establish the reciter as a teacher slash guide, but also to suggest the dry objectivity of the Japanese approach to the world. Hal, that's Hal Prince, Hal was uncomfortable with my setting the tone at the top of the opening number, just as he had been with the sour tone of Happily Ever After, the closing number in Company, and once again persuaded me to change it. In the case of Company, I think he was right. In this case, I should have stuck to my guns. So I think we talked about this in The Advantages of Floating in the Middle of the Sea, that Sondheim really enjoyed this first version better. But I guess you can be the judge. The unfortunate part about this is that I don't know what this song actually sounds like. I don't know if it has basically the same melody or if it's completely different. So I'll just read the portion that is actually included in the book. The reciter was supposed to start up by saying, "Winds blow and waves break and see the island floats. Winds blow and waves break and we float. Kings are burning somewhere, out there, not here, we float. Winds blow and towers go down, we float. Waves rise and centuries drown, we float. Gods are crumbling somewhere, machines are rumbling somewhere, not here, we float. We paint screens, there are screens, to provide pleasant scenes and to hide further screens. We paint screens which can slide, some have scenes 10 feet wide of screens. And we sit inside as the watches tick and trails are tried and the air is thick with doubt, not here, we float." Then the chorus comes in and goes, "Winds blow with fury, they pass, the island floats. Windows are paper, not glass, we float. Kings are burning somewhere, great wheels are turning somewhere." So the quick answer is I don't know. There's no way that I can conclusively let my opinion be known about what I think would work better, because I only know Pacific Overtures with the song that it currently opens up with. You can definitely tell that those were reworked and then made into the song that actually does open it up. These are a little bit more compact, I would say, and definitely gives the reciter more authority into the framing of the scene. What I do notice very, very clearly here is that there is this interesting compatibility between how we float and then next would have worked together at the end of the show. Here, there is the common refrain of we float, we float, we float to next, 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 next. We talked a lot about that in the episode of Next, of how that is such a strong word in English. It ends in a very declarative, consonant way, right? Next, next. It's almost not even poetic at that point. It's just a percussive word that you can use consistently over and over again. And with we float, I think that that does come across as a little bit more inviting. It's not as harsh on the ear. It all kind of fits together. We float, we float. There is that, and this is pun intended, I guess, a little bit, but there's that buoyancy that it gives to the lyrics itself, where we feel like we are kind of being invited into this, you know, different world, a real land, a real country, but definitely from a North American point of view, we are being invited into something that we might not have a lot of knowledge about. I would love, though, to know what your point of view on this is. And if you know of a way to actually see or hear this version of the song being performed, please let me know, because I would love to actually listen to it. But my search skills in YouTube must be waning, because I could not find any record of this actually being recorded previously. Possibly I'm just not looking in the right places here. But if you think that you know conclusively what the better song is to open up this show, please send in those comments. Hit me up on social media, but puttingittogetherpodcast@gmail.com is your best place. Now, Prayer is the second song that was cut from the show, and interestingly enough, was the very first song that Sondheim wrote for Pacific Overtures. What I think is the most fascinating about that is that its melody is still throughout the show of Pacific Overtures. In our There Is No Other Way episode, we really did delve into this a little bit, because there is actually a portion of this song included on the 2004 Broadway revival as a bonus track. You can hear Sondheim singing it himself, which I'm assuming was for like a backers audition or something like that. Regardless, you can actually hear what this song probably would have sounded like. There Is No Other Way, as it is currently in the show, is these two different characters coming out and kind of singing the thoughts of Kiyama and Tamata as he's going off to see Abe. But initially what was going on was that there was three prayers, one by Tamata, one by Kiyama, and one by the counselors come to grab Kiyama. And so this is how it was supposed to go. So Tamata would have said, "God of fortune, take my meager gift. Let him come home swiftly in favor. Daikoku, show me a sign. God of fortune, brush my husband's sleeve. Let his lords receive him with favor. Daikoku, show me a sign. Let me see a sign. Let me see a spider in the morning. Let me dream a river overflowed. Let me see a spider on the ceiling in the morning, or a ribbon pointing northward in the road. Show me a sign. I have hung a sandal facing inward, drawing him home. Let me have a gesture. Show me a sign. Daikoku." And then Kiyama would have joined in and saying, "God of wisdom, hear my useless prayer. Are you even there for an answer? Jirojin, Jirojin, show me a sign. God of riddles, tell me what to do. Or will even you have no answer, Jirojin? I know the sign, if there is a sign. I will see a spider in the evening. I will dream of rivers running dry. I shall see a spider on the ceiling in the evening, or a funeral procession passing by. I know the signs. Point me to a door that can be opened. Is there a door? Let me have a gesture. Show me a sign, Jirojin." Now, a few things there. I do like them including that spider imagery that is throughout the rest of the show. It shows up in Chrysanthemum Tea, shows up again in Bowler Hat. So putting it here early in the show would be an interesting way to kind of piece the whole thing together really nicely. So just some backstory on some of the people that they talk about, their gods that they're talking about here. So Daikoku, from what I understand by looking it up here, was the deity of fortune and wealth. So that's what Tamata is doing. She's like, take this meager offering, but give back the wealth to our family. Please give us good tidings, essentially. So that's who she's praying to. Conversely, Kiyama is praying to Jiroji, who he labels as the god of wisdom, but from what I could see is actually the god of fortune. Again, I am so outside of my lane talking about this stuff. I have no like deep knowledge about the gods of Buddhism or whatever form of Japanese religion this is, but as far as I know, it was Zen Buddhism that this was talking about. But Jirojin specifically, he was actually the subject of a lot of the ink paintings that you might be familiar with from, like, if you look at like traditional Japanese art, if you have a thought of what that looks like in your brain, he normally walks with a like a big staff in his hand and a fan in his other. So if you see any paintings from Japan where an old guy is carrying a big staff, has a fan in the other hand, that's who that is. What I will say, I can't conclusively say I like the melody of this song better. Maybe this is sacrilege, but I don't think Sondheim is the best singer in the world. So I can't maybe fully grasp what exactly this song would sound like in a produced show. But I do think There Is No Other Way is beautiful musically. Like, it's just gorgeous with those Jonathan Tunick orchestrations. That being said, I actually prefer the lyrics to prayers. I think they're so much more evocative. And like I said, with that spider imagery that they're bringing in, feels like it ties into the rest of the show way better. It would have ended actually with the counselor singing, but that section was then brought over into Chrysanthemum Tea eventually. So he was able to reutilize that song and that snippet, I guess, in then what ultimately would become Chrysanthemum Tea.
May the gods of our fathers make you equal to this awesome task. Okay, I'm a saint.
God of riddles, tell me quickly what to do. Show me a sign. Who can answer? Who can find a pathway, even you? If there is a sign, I know which is mine. I shall see a spider in the evening. I shall dream of rivers running dry. I shall see a spider on the ceiling in the evening, or a funeral procession passing by. I know the signs. Is there a direction? Show me a sign.
Now, talking about Chrysanthemum Tea, there is the original version versus what would eventually become into the show. So I get to do a little bit of a performance here, because this is going back and forth with the shogun, his mother, some physicians that are coming into the scene. But as Sondheim writes, as with many songs which have too little say, once the premise was stated, there was nothing to add. So I tried, as I had tried before in previous shows, to distract the listener from the repetitious emptiness by opening up my bag of pyrotechnical dazzlements, in this case, rhymes. It was minimally effective, which is one reason the song was replaced. I include the lyric here not only in the interests of completeness and to present an exemplary instance of over-rhyming, but also because, as in the case of Four Black Dragons, I'm extremely fond of the last line. So it starts with the shogun, of course, in his bed going, oh, 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 no, oh, nah, nah. And so then the mother goes, fix the shogun's pillow, brew the shogun's tea, chop the shogun's ginger, play for the shogun, pray for the shogun, look, the shogun falters, no, the shogun rallies, quick, the shogun shakes. And then a back and forth between the physicians. The fever breaks, the shogun wakes, elevate the shogun, chrysanthemum tea. Just pour it, chrysanthemum tea, you're adored, chrysanthemum tea, my lord. Good. And now the shogun slurps his tea and goes, good, the shogun brightens, let the shogun breathe, is the shogun calmer? Who upset the shogun? He then goes into convulsions, and so the back and forth goes, who upset the shogun? You upset the shogun. I regret the shogun got upset. Now you've wet the shogun. Don't forget the shogun's shogun yet. Shall we let the shogun sweat? Wait, the shogun gestures, feel the shogun's cheeks. The fever peaks. The shogun speaks. Have they gone yet? No, my lord. And then the shogun shrieks in terror. Play something, pray something. The blossom falls on the mountain. The mountain, say something. Fix something, brew something, mix something, do something. Let me have a leech. Chrysanthemum tea, don't drip. Chrysanthemum tea, sip, sip. Chrysanthemum. The blossom falls on the mountain. The mountain falls on the blossom. All things fall. Then he twitches, burrows into his pillows and hides. And the mother continues on. Light the shogun's incense. Fill the shogun's pipe. Mop the shogun's forehead. Where is the shogun? There is the shogun. Quick, the shogun pales. The shogun wails. The shogun fails. Flagellate the shogun. Chrysanthemum tea. More force. Chrysanthemum tea. Like a horse. Chrysanthemum tea. Of course. There, the shogun's quiet. See, the Shogun waves, chains the Shogun's pillow. This is when the Shogun's head hits the floor with a dull thud, apparently. Did you drop the Shogun? Never drop a Shogun. Someone propped the Shogun up right there. Someone mopped the Shogun. Better stop the Shogun. Should have air. Should we crop the Shogun's hair? Fetch the Shogun's panda. Rub the Shogun's ankles. Look, the Shogun spits. The fever quits. The Shogun sits. Strum something, hum something, drum something. Chrysanthemum tea, hot and thick. Chrysanthemum tea, he's sick. Look, the Shogun's red. Have the Shogun bled. Tilt the Shogun's bed. Lift the Shogun's head. Wait, the Shogun's dead. The blossom falls on the mountain. The mountain falls on the blossom. All things fall. Rest the Shogun's spirit till the Shogun's next life. Get another Shogun. That last line is given by the mother again, which is, it's a fun line. It's a fun line. It's a fun line. I've said that now 3 times. It's a fun line. I just think Chrysanthemum Tea, as it is now in the show, is so much better. It's great. You can see how they incorporate, again, some of the same lyrics into what ultimately became Chrysanthemum Tea. But what I like about Chrysanthemum Tea, how it is now, although we discussed this, is not based on any type of historical fact. But I do like how they incorporate that it's the mother poisoning her son as retribution for him killing his father. And it's so delicious into those lyrics. The internal rhymes are so on point. Anyways, I love the original Chrysanthemum Tea. This Chrysanthemum Tea, I think Sondheim is right. He's onto something here where there is a dazzlement, to use his word. I'm not even sure if that is a word, but there is a dazzlement to the rhymes that are happening at the beginning of each line. Where it's like strum something, hum something, drum something. But even stuff like feel the Shogun's cheeks, the fever peaks, the Shogun speaks. Like, those rhymes are so good, but not as good, again, as what the ultimate version of Chrysanthemum Tea would be. So for me, this reads as a very, very good first draft. An admirable first attempt. But what we actually get in the show is so much better. I wonder if he really tried to get that last line in the updated version of Chrysanthemum Tea as well, or how hard he tried to fight for that. I also think that this is a much more visual type joke. I think, again, how Chrysanthemum Tea now works is that you can listen to those recordings and still get a lot out of it. You can visualize exactly what they're talking about. Where this, I guess you could use some sound effects here and there, but seems like a much more visual thing, as like the Shogun is trying to hide underneath the covers, having him drop onto the ground, that sort of thing, him slurping up the tea, him like cowering in fear sort of thing. So I'm sure, like, as a piece of theater, it worked out really, really well. But not to beat a dead spider here, but I mean, what we get is far, far, far better. I was correct, and I was right. This is going to be a very short episode here this week, so I'm thankful for everyone for tuning in. Please give me your feedback, though. If you have thoughts on any of these cut songs, please send those in. I would love you just to give me feedback even on the entirety of the Pacific Overtures season. You can send all of that to puttingittogetherpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow me at Sondheim Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and you can support the show on Patreon by going to patreon.com/puttingittogetherpodcast. Thank you to the Alberta Podcast Network, to Yegg Podfest, and to Pod Power this week. Putting It Together is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts from. Consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode. Next week, we'll be talking about all the different recordings of Pacific Overtures. Yes, even that one. As always, a big thank you to the great Chris Taniguchi, who designed the podcast artwork, and to Nick Driscoll for composing our theme music. Well, we've reached the end of our episode. Yes, I know. Goodbye for now.